Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And lots of prayers from the Rediscover Hour here for the tragedies in Boston and West Texas. And maybe we should throw in a couple for the weather as well. What do you think?
Yes. For all of the people of Boston, of course, and for all of the first responders and for the runners. Oh, gosh, I can't imagine what it would be like to be out on a competitive event like that.
And well, and the children, tragedy. Too. The children, yeah. The families. It's just awful.
Then in West Texas, for all of the people there, it's a tiny little town, and that fertilizer plant that blew up is right in the middle of town.
Right, and the videos they have are just so scary, and I know that a bunch of my friends in Texas are donating blood. They need platelets, so we thank them, and lots of prayers go out to that whole area.
And then prayers for everyone affected by this weather. This is
the depression of this weather.
But of course, it can be even worse than that for a lot of people who are blocked into their houses and so forth. So look in on your elderly and ill neighbors today. We have a very full show for you today on the Rediscover Hour. Here's a quick look at what's coming up. We'll hear from internationally known and best-selling Catholic author George Weigel about the new evangelization.
Plus, in our ongoing No Ordinary Conversation segment, Archbishop Nienstedt discusses the upcoming pilgrimage he's leading to Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in La Crosse. Find out how you can join this faith-building journey.
And in answering the call, we'll hear from a leader at a local parish. That parish has fully engaged Rediscover efforts. 300 people there turned out for book club discussion groups. We'll share some secrets to their success.
And in our regular invitation situation segment, we'll listen in on a conversation between friends about exploring the faith and strengthening their friendship in the process. Bishop Lee Pichet shares some simple suggestions for engaging with a friend who is exploring life's big questions.
Did you know that there are 69 men in formation for the priesthood for this archdiocese? Number that really builds hope in the hearts of all Catholics. We'll hear from one man with his vocation story.
And as always, we're going to start the show today with our friend Joe Towalski, the editor of The Catholic Spirit. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Corey. Good morning, Paul.
What's up today?
Well, certainly I just would like to echo your thoughts about prayers for the people of Boston and the people of Texas who are going through those very difficult situations and tragedies at this point. But locally, earlier this week, on a more positive note, this past Tuesday, I had the opportunity to attend the Archdiocese's Spring Formation Day at Guardian Angels in Oakdale, and several hundred pastoral ministers and parish staff from around the Archdiocese were there for a day focused on hospitality in our parish communities. And, you know, certainly making people feel welcome and showing they're important members of the parish community is a very effective part of evangelization, a necessary part. And the event's speakers addressed those topics in ways that I think gave the parish staff some food for thought about the importance of making hospitality a core value in their own ministries and in the life of their church communities. It was a great lineup of speakers. The keynoters included Father Michael Jonkis of our archdiocese, who talked about hospitality in the biblical tradition, and a guy by the name of Lou Carbone, who heads an experience management firm in the Twin Cities here, who spoke about the experience of hospitality. And the day ended with a set of panel discussions that featured clergy and lay ministers on the topic of hospitality in our parish communities. And included on that were Father Michael Van Sloan, who's pastor of St. Stephen Parish in Anoka, and Deacon Dan Gannon, who heads Catholic services here in the Archdiocese. And among the topics they addressed were, as keys to hospitality, were the importance of prayer, making oneself available to others, and treating others as if they were meeting Christ himself. So let's listen to a little bit from that discussion, first from Father Van Sloan and then Deacon Gannon.
I think part of the way that gets grounded is in prayer. You have to stay close to Christ, and if you're taking on the attitude of Christ, you're going to be home. One of my favorite passages is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Christ didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but he emptied himself. This is the business about radical availability and setting yourself aside and being there for them. My first year as a priest, I had a mentor priest who was very helpful to me, and he says, how do you feel about interruptions? Well, you know, I'm an on-task, highly productive. I mean, that's the way that I've been groomed and brought up. And he said, well, so you are trying to be productive. What about the interruption when somebody comes and they need something from you? He says, sometimes the most important ministerial encounter you're going to have on any one day is going to be the interruption. That person, their need, is going to be the key thing that happened that particular day. So I went back to the parish and tried it. I've been doing it for 17 and a half years. He was right. So we have to welcome interruptions, and we have to be radically available for people when they need us.
In thinking about hospitality, what occurred to me was, from a spiritual sense, you know, that there's a saying St. Thomas Aquinas liked to write about, and it is operatio sequitur esse. What we do flows from who we are. And to me, it seems most fitting to look at hospitality in its most Catholic Christian aspect as treating everyone as Christ. Treating everyone as Christ who comes through the doors of the church and to all those we reach out to. And so this means being hospitable requires that we imitate the virtues of Christ. And so it's not only, it starts with being welcoming and saying hello and saying welcome, but in addition, engaging people at an authentic enough level where we understand their needs. You know, as a deacon, one of the roles of the church, of the deacon, is to recognize the needs in the parish, to recognize those needs and to bring them to the attention of the pastor and of the people. And so understanding needs really is where being hospitable brings us. It's this authentic engagement for the love of Christ of people that are coming in need to us, and then meeting those needs in mind, body, and spirit.
You know, there was a lot of great food for thought at the conference. Father Van Sloan's words really stuck with me about how do we handle the interruptions.
Oh, that was key. Absolutely paramount.
Yeah, you know, are we really there when people most need us and need our attention? That's good stuff for all of us to reflect on. And we'll have more about the Spring Formation Day in next week's issue of The Catholic Spirit, our April 25th issue, along with some stories about this weekend's upcoming Regional Stewardship Conference, the Family Rosary Procession coming up early next month, and some important news about this fall's Archdiocesan Youth Day.
And you're coming back later on the Rediscover Hour today.
That's right. We've had that interview with George Weigel, and it was very, very interesting. I think people will enjoy that one.
Well, we will catch you later then, Joe. Thank you so much.
All right, talk to you later.
Coming up today on the Rediscover, in addition to Joe's interview with George Weigel and Gordy DeMaray of St. Paul's Outreach, we'll hear from Archbishop Neinstadt about the importance of pilgrimage in our faith life. Find out about a great opportunity to join the Archbishop on a pilgrimage to the Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in La Crosse.
Plus, in answering the call, we'll hear from a local parish leader about what they are doing there to really engage parishioners in the Rediscover efforts. And we'll share a local seminarian's inspiring vocation story. All this and a whole lot more ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
This is Twins manager Ron Gardenhire for Coordinated Business Systems and Real People, Real Stories, Real Results.
Dave Halsey, CFO with Fraser, the social service agency.
What Coordinated has helped us with is moving more documents to be scanned and stored electronically with our network computers to reduce paper, to make the offices more efficient.
Coordinated Smart Doc program. Faster, easier, more efficient document management and support.
They have some good trainers and consultants, network engineers on staff that assist you when you're developing new machines or interfaces to your networks.
And you've been a Coordinated customer for almost a decade.
We stay with Coordinated because they've been consistent, they grow and add new features and new softwares, and because they know us, they've treated us right.
Ron Gardenhire.
Coordinated Business Systems and SmartDoc. Proven leadership, powerful results.
Learn more at CoordinatedSmartDoc.com. CoordinatedSmartDoc.com.
I will never forget you. For your name I have carved on the palm of my hand. Though the night may be empty.
Whoa, Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Did you know the Vatican has named this Sunday, April 21st, the fourth Sunday of Easter, or Good Shepherd Sunday, as the 50th World Day of Prayer for Vocations?
And the theme for this year's World Day of Prayer for Vocations is Vocations as a Sign of Hope Founded in Faith. The theme highlights the hope that vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life bring to the entire church.
We've set up a link on our show page to the U.S. Bishop's website where you can find many vocations resources, including videos, prayers, and discernment resources for men and women, downloadable lesson plans for educators, and retreat resources for parishes that you can use anytime.
And in honor of the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, from now until ordinations to the priesthood on May 25th at the Cathedral of St. Paul, we're featuring some visits with local seminarians.
Yeah, today we are joined by Jake Anderson, a seminarian in formation for the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis at the St. Paul Seminary. Jake, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Paul and Kathy.
Oh, Corey, good morning to you too, Jake. Can you tell us a little bit about your story, where you are right now, what you're doing?
Sure. So I'm at the St. Paul Seminary. I'm in Theology 2, so this is my fourth year in seminary. I have 2 years left until, God willing, priesthood ordination.
Now, you're not a deacon yet.
Correct. That would be hopefully next spring.
Tell us a little bit about your story. You know, I'm always interested in how a person discerns that call.
Me too. I mean, this is baffling to me, how when this moment hits you that you're just 100% certain that this is what you're supposed to do.
Yes, excellent question. We get this a lot.
I bet.
Yeah, I started out in college as a freshman, or even I could take a back step to that. I started out growing up in Wisconsin, small town Baldwin, Wisconsin. Good, strong Catholic family. And then I started out in college in South Florida, and was starting to get a degree in economics. I transferred up to a school in Ohio. It's called Franciscan University. Vibrantly Catholic university, but while there, even though I definitely considered myself to be a practicing Catholic and all that, it really wasn't until I graduated.
You were a business major, weren't you?
I was, yes. I got a degree in business and economics.
Wow. Okay. Well, so what happened then?
Yeah, so once I graduated, I moved to Minneapolis. I got a job working for a management consulting firm, and I started living in St. Paul, commuting into Minneapolis. And it was during that few-year period that Christianity really became something I looked into more, because I had grown up Catholic, but I never really intentionally, I wouldn't have considered myself an active disciple of Christ. So when I was working, I was constantly encountering people who were atheists, agnostics, and I just found it very easy to slip into that secular mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So in a certain sense, my faith became just a passing thing.
Just background, kind of?
Right, right.
So what was it that turned that around for you? Was it a specific instance, a person?
You know, it's hard to limit it to one thing. There were so many things that happened at this time, but, you know, a few highlights. It was when I started working. In downtown Minneapolis, there's a church called St. Olaf Catholic Church.
Oh, we know St. Olaf. It's a wonderful parish.
Yes. And one day at the lunch hour, I heard the bells ringing down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I haven't ever walked in there yet. So I walked in for Mass, went to the noon Mass, and I absolutely loved it. I just found the peace and quiet. I got to pray a little bit. And then I went to Mass the next morning at 7 a.m.
Wow.
And the priest who was the main celebrant was this old priest in his 80s. But the thing that struck me immediately was just the fact that he was so joyful. And he was just almost shuffling around on the altar, and I'm like, here I am. It's a Monday morning, or it's a Tuesday, whatever it was. And I'm like, I'm struggling just to consider what I'm going into for the rest of the day of work. And here's this elderly man who's filled with such a joy that just seems like something I've never seen in the workplace before. So it was just a little prick of my conscience to think, well, what is it that's giving him this joy?
Mm-hmm.
So I started reading a lot more. I joke around, but it was during this few-year period of work that I think I read more books on Christianity and Catholicism than I ever did in college.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the main books that I picked up that just had a huge impact on me was C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes. So that really started getting the wheels turning in my head.
Well, we'll pray for those wheels to keep on turning, Jake, and look forward to your ordination to the diaconate in a year and hopefully to the priesthood in a couple of years.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you're doing.
Thanks Absolutely. So much for joining us, and thanks in a preliminary way for saying yes.
Yeah, for making that decision for us.
Absolutely. Well, it's my pleasure.
You can find out more about the St. Paul Seminary, upcoming vocation events, and the USCCB World Day of Vocations resources at our show page. Just go to rediscoverfaith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And make plans to attend the ordination to the priesthood on May 25th at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Archbishop John Nienstedt will ordain 10 men to the Holy Priesthood of Jesus Christ. The mystery and power of the ordination liturgies is filled with moments of grace for all who participate. So please consider attending as a family. This intense moment of renewal for our church is also a great gift to each one of us. Come, rejoice, and celebrate.
It's time for today's invitation situation. Today we're providing an example of a non-threatening way to invite a Catholic friend who's searching for answers to explore the faith.
And you get to grow your friendship in the process. Bishop Piché shares an example in today's invitation situation.
Hello, I'm Bishop Lee Piché, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Our weekly invitation situation on the Rediscover Hour is all about sharing ideas and examples of how to call others into communion with Jesus through His church. Little seeds we plant to help someone along the path. This person could be a family member who has drifted away from the church. Perhaps a neighbor who doesn't practice any religion but is seeking answers to life's big questions. Or maybe a coworker who seems unhappy or in need of something beautiful and positive in his or her life. As Christians, we are called to invite others to a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ. Our goal should never be instant conversion, but planting little seeds of loving and joyful invitation. When we do, the Holy Spirit takes those seeds and brings them to fruition. In today's invitation situation, we meet Lisa and Michelle, who have been friends ever since their now middle school-aged sons became friends in kindergarten. Lately, Lisa has been thinking about trying to understand the faith better. Today, as she and her friend meet for coffee, she decides to confide in Michelle, who she knows is also Catholic, even though they pretty much never talk about faith or religion. Let's listen in.
Okay, I know this is weird to say. I normally don't talk about my faith or religion much, but I just have so many questions about Catholic positions on things. You know I'm Catholic, and of course I go to Mass. But sometimes I don't understand why we do the things we do or take the positions we take.
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up. I went to a series of presentations at our parish a little while ago that really helped me get started in studying the faith. I know there are other opportunities coming up. Come with me. There are lots of great resources to find out more about the faith right here in our parish. I'll check with our Director of Faith Formation about what other opportunities are coming up here at the parish and in our area. Father, of course, would also be happy to help us.
Yeah, I don't know if I can take on that commitment right now. I'll be embarrassed by how little I know, and it sounds like a lot of class time.
Many other people are in the same boat. Maybe you're like me, I just wasn't taught these things. But we all have to start somewhere, and it's not necessarily a big time commitment away from the house. The formation sessions I attended met just a couple times a month, and they really helped point me in the right direction by suggesting some great Catholic books to read on my own. You and I have read and discussed far too many mystery books to count. And now we could attend a few talks and read some books that could really make a difference in our lives. I'll make time for this if you do.
All right, as long as we're in this together.
Having questions is part of being human, and so is the need for companionship and social interaction. So while we all need to come to understanding faith on our own through prayer and study, and most importantly, the grace of the sacraments, making a commitment to learn more about the faith with a friend or family member who is also seeking answers is a great plan. Join a faith discussion group at your parish. Check out adult catechesis offerings at your parish or at a neighboring parish. Making a commitment with a friend or spouse or other family member is a great way to remain steadfast in your personal pledge to learn more about the faith and have a relationship-building experience while you're at it. Sharing and discussing faith with others is one of the best ways to grow in faith. Thanks for listening to today's Invitation Situation.
You can hear Bishop Pichet regularly here on the Rediscover Hour in the Invitation Situation. If you have some ideas for an Invitation Situation segment, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah, you can contact us through our show page at rediscover-faith.org. And remember to click on radio in the top navigation bar. Or you can email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. Again, that email, therediscoverhour@archspm.org.
Well, coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from a leader at a local parish that is just amazingly successful at invitation. That's in today's Answering the Call segment.
Plus, Archbishop Nienstedt shares an invitation to you to join him on a special pilgrimage next month in today's No Ordinary Conversation. And George Weigel describes evangelical Catholicism, the topic of his new book. It's all ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
You want to talk with someone about your finances or life insurance, but are you afraid you'll get a bad reaction?
Okay, let's get started. We gotta fill out 20 pages for the application, but let's just skip to the last page. Tell me, how much you got? What? Are you kidding me? Is that all? Unbelievable. This is gonna be difficult. I mean, what are we gonna do? Are you sure you wanna do this?
At Catholic United Financial, our first question won't be how much you got. Instead, we'll show you how our financial products can complement what you already have. We use a simple fact-finding process called Unite and Grow. We'll also ask you how you want your Catholic faith reflected in your plan. Member-owned for over 135 years. People helping people. Join us.
Catholic.
Who we are.
United.
What we are.
Financial.
What we do.
Catholic United Financial.
Life insurance, retirement products, IRAs.
On the web at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. In the Burnsville, Cottage Grove, Egan, and Invergrove Heights area, contact Mike Skillrude.
For the city, for the world we pray. Let your light shine down, come around and live in us. For the close.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Well, when we launched the Rediscover Hour last month, we promised you guys that we'd share success stories from parishes, schools, and other Catholic organizations that are successfully implementing these Rediscover efforts.
And in today's Answering the Call, we're hearing from a leader at a local parish that really has engaged in the Rediscover initiative. One example of that engagement, more than 300 people are involved in Rediscover Catholic book clubs at the parish.
The name of this parish is Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata, and the parish's faith formation director, Patty Watkins, joins us by phone. Patty, how did you get 300 people involved in these book clubs? That is just amazing.
Well, good morning, Paul and Corey, and thank you so much for inviting me to join you this morning.
Of course, thank you.
You know, our staff was so excited when we heard about the Rediscover initiative last fall, and so it instantly became a dream of ours to get a large number of our parishioners excited in the initiative as well. So we right away formed a committee, not only of staff members, but parishioners who actually had approached us and asked us how they could help us with it. So that was really exciting. And one of the first things we did was our pastor and some members of our community made a video that was shown at all of our Christmas masses.
Oh, cool.
And that video invited everyone to enter into the gift of Christmas and the gift of receiving the book. And it also included an invitation to join the book club.
Well, and then speaking of receiving the book as a gift, every parish in the Archdiocese gave the book out, but you did something a little special at Holy Name of Jesus.
Yes, we actually did. We had pre-ordered 1,500 copies of the book, and we wanted to make it really special. So, you know, everybody loves getting a gift at Christmas, right? I mean, it's just so neat to open something special. So we had our 5th and 6th graders from both our school at Holy Name and our Faith Formation program, they individually wrapped in Christmas paper all 1,500 copies of the book.
What a good project for them.
Well, it was, because they also got excited, right, because they knew they were wrapping these special gifts.
They were being a part of it.
And went home and took it home to their parents as well.
Right. And so to get people to sign up or to indicate interest, didn't you guys like pass out a form that people could hand out, and then that way they indicated which times they were available, and it kind of put people together with new people that they might not even know?
Absolutely. What we did is we put really colorful flyers in the cover of each of the books. And that information, that flyer had information about all the different times we were offering opportunities for our prisoners to be in the book club.
Right.
So we knew it had to be really accessible for everybody because everybody's schedules are so busy. So we actually offered every day of the week, almost every hour of the day.
Oh, wow.
As options for them to sign up. And then they could either meet on campus or they could meet in their homes. So we made it extremely accessible so that everyone could find a time that fit for them.
Now, we have a new book coming up that the Archdiocese is supporting for book clubs. It's called A Time for God. Have you had a chance to take a look at it yet?
You know, I've actually ordered my copy. We just heard about it, and so we're really anxious. I did review it a little bit, you know, online and read about it. So we are really excited. And while we haven't had, as a committee, an opportunity to make formal plans, we are definitely going to be continuing our discussion groups and then hosting a variety of speakers so that our adult parishioners and members of the community and the area communities can keep that engagement in the faith and keep that excitement going.
I should mention, too, that A Time for God is available at local bookstores and online, and we have a link on the rediscover-faith.org website. So what does Holy Name of Jesus have in mind to grow engagement in rediscover evangelization and catechesis efforts in coming months and years?
Well, I tell you what, Holy Name is really blessed. We have passionate adults who always want to know more about their faith and to grow in their understanding of the Catholic Church. And we have a rich tradition of providing quality adult formation opportunities here at the parish.
But I'm somewhat familiar with the parish, and it is a vibrant parish.
Yes, you know, but
it just glows on the horizon of Wayzata there.
Oh, you do? Okay. But, you know, there's always that challenge to find, you know, and provide adult opportunities that they're going to find a value. So we always are striving to offer a variety of opportunities and that we also recognize that it's important that no matter what programming we offer at Holy Name, it has to be adaptable to people's busy schedules. It has to be low cost because we know families have so many financial responsibilities with raising their children. And then one other thing we found is that we have to offer short-term opportunities as well as long-term because sometimes people just can't commit to that 6 to 8 weeks, you
right.
know. So we just really try to be creative in what we're offering so that we can spark people's interest.
Well, that's key for everyone to have a chance to get involved. And then a huge success or a huge part of the success of this initiative is that it provides opportunities for tools for invitation by those who are actively engaged with the faith to invite those friends who are less engaged or who have drifted away. And can you give us some examples of how you guys are doing that?
Well, I tell you one really beautiful example we have is we had a group of second grade parents, four families that were in a, you know, like a discussion group. They would just meet, you know, periodically and get together. And when the Rediscover book came out, they met and decided that as a group they wanted to do that. But what they then challenged each other to do was to invite one other couple
right.
that had never been a part of the group or maybe wasn't really engaged in the community. And they all did that. And those eight couples, I think it's actually up to 10 now, are just really vibrantly getting together. And they're not just, they didn't stop at the end of the book discussion. They're still meeting monthly, you know, getting together socially and just sharing their faith. So that is, you know, just one of the many stories that we have at Holy Name.
Now, Holy Name of Jesus is one of three parishes hosting a repeat of the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series talks this fall. Excited about that?
Oh, my gosh, are we ever excited. You know, as we all know this morning, this weather hasn't been very cooperative this year. So, you know, a lot of our parishioners weren't always able to get
able to get
the
there.
Talks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they are so, you know, we've started getting the word out, and everybody, you can just feel the enthusiasm in the parish. Everyone is so excited. So you know, not just only for our parishioners there, but we're really excited to extend that invitation to all the parishes in the western suburbs to join us and throughout the Archdiocese if they'd like to drive and come. So we are really excited to be given that opportunity to do that.
Now, in Minnesota, you know, the weather is so unpredictable at any time that it's just a wonderful service that you're providing to host repeats of those talks this fall.
Yep, and like I said, we are just really, really excited about it, and you know, hope to even build off of that, you know, by adding some more adult presentations and that throughout the entire year. So once we get through the fall and stuff, we just really want to keep that enthusiasm and excitement going. So we're in the planning stages again of the year, but we hope to continue to bring speakers to the community throughout the entire year next year.
And for those of you who don't know, those talks are being repeated, the same speakers in the same order, just like this fall. And like we said, they're going to be on Mondays at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata, and Tuesdays, I believe, at Epiphany in Coon Rapids, Thursdays at a church in Eden Prairie, correct? And then so those will all be going on the same exact way as the fall. So it's really cool that we're offering everybody here a chance to get to those talks that didn't get to see them last fall.
That's correct. And I just think it's just really, you know, we've just scratched the surface. And I think the other big thing that everyone's really obviously getting excited about is our big October event. I know there's a lot of excitement, you
right.
know, about all the entire Archdiocese.
Oh, it's going to be
together.
So cool.
Yeah,
be so
I mean,
cool.
I, there is just a lot of excitement about that as well.
Yeah, that will kick off or end the year of faith in such a neat way for our Archdiocese to come together and really celebrate what we're doing here.
Patty Watkins, Director of Faith Formation at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata, thanks so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
You're very welcome. And again, thank you for inviting me.
And here's the basic info on the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series talks, which are being repeated this fall. The talks take place the weeks of September 16th, September 30th, October 21st, and November 4th.
And the talks, again, are on Mondays at the Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata. The talks on Tuesdays are at Epiphany in Coon Rapids, and that church on Thursday is Pax Christi in Eden Prairie. And you can find full details at rediscover-faith.org, rediscover-faith.org.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, so many opportunities to deepen your faith happening around this archdiocese. Find out about a faith-building pilgrimage to the Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in La Crosse, Wisconsin, in today's No Ordinary Conversation with Archbishop Neinstadt.
Plus, Joe Towalski of the Catholic Spirit shares a conversation he had with best-selling author George Weigel and Gordy DeMaraye of St. Paul's Outreach. Y'all stick around for a very short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is Carrie Becker, owner of Becker Building and Remodeling, with over 30 years' experience in home construction. We love putting a special touch on home building projects for our customers.
Hi, I'm Adam.
I'm Micaiah.
And we're the owners of Hazel's Northeast Restaurant in Northeast Minneapolis. My favorite thing about our new home is the small details that we were able to put into it. The custom-built fireplace that Carrie helped us select using reclaimed woods and special handmade process. It's the centerpiece of our living room. I think we were initially nervous about the amount of decisions we'd have to make, but after we met Carrie, the decision-making process was really easy.
The contractors and all the people working were always eager to share what had been going on. They were really passionate about what they were doing. They shared right in Carrie's spirit about being excited for this new house.
What can we build or remodel for you? Remember, keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Becker Building and Remodeling, a Catholic-owned business you can trust. 612-363-0493.
Say, take this bread, take this wine, bow the simple made divine, for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Best-selling Catholic author George Weigel has a new book out that Catholics everywhere are talking about. It's titled evangelical Catholicism. And in the book, Weigel proposes that the church is on a threshold of a bold new era in its 2,000-year history.
Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, had the great opportunity to speak with George Weigel and the head of St. Paul's Outreach, Gordy DeMaray, this week. And we have the good luck to speak with Joe again. Hello, Joe.
Hello again.
did you enjoy visiting with George Weigel?
Oh, you know, he's just such a great speaker.
Yeah.
You know, he spoke last Monday on the themes of his new book at the St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission event here in the Twin Cities. And I did get that chance to interview him and Gordy DeMaray a bit more in depth about the new evangelization and evangelical Catholicism and why these new models for the church are so needed today. So let's listen to a part of that interview.
Mr. Weigel, in your book, you talk about moving from a, I think the term is recreational Catholicism, to a more full-time Catholicism. You've written about that. Could you talk a little bit about what that means in today's context?
I think it means that the Catholicism of the future cannot simply be a lifestyle choice about how to spend an hour and 15 minutes on the weekend. It has to be a life-forming commitment to the faith that animates every other aspect of our lives and our families and our work and our lives as citizens. There's too often in Catholicism today a notion that faith is over here and everything else is over there. But there's only one life that each one of us is living. And at the center of that life has to be, as Benedict XVI always insisted, friendship with Jesus Christ, which is a relationship that should animate and shape every other facet of our lives. So we're not Catholics on Sunday and something else Monday to Saturday. This is particularly urgent today in public life, where I found in 2012 there were people profoundly confused about the importance of their Catholic conviction in their lives as citizens. You cannot separate these two things. It's just not possible. It becomes a kind of bifurcated personality. So full-time Catholicism does not mean that everyone is working for the church in a formal sense all the time. It does mean that everyone is a witness to Christ at, in every aspect of their lives.
In your talk this morning, you spoke about the culture and how the culture previously was one that could be more supportive of the faith, whereas today it can often be hostile to the faith. What are some ways of proposing or reproposing the Catholic faith to people today who are living in this culture that can be hostile not only to faith in general, but to Catholicism in particular at times?
Well, we have a very challenging circumstance in that we live in a culture that is increasingly unreal, that is increasingly deracinated, that doesn't recognize the claims of either nature or reason, that imagines that everything is sheer willfulness and that we can change just about anything we want. That's a very difficult circumstance in which to proclaim the gospel. But I think if we look at the profound human unhappiness that comes out of self-absorption, a life lived willfully rather than a life lived as gift, we can find openings in the tears and fissures in the human condition that have been caused by this radical culture of me, myself, and I, and demonstrate to people a more humane and noble and satisfying way of life. I do think in these circumstances that the witness of lives lived well is the most powerful invitation to hear the message of the gospel. It's very hard to argue people into right reason in a culture that has abandoned the idea that there is anything properly describable as the truth. There's your truth and my truth, but there's nothing called the truth. That's not a circumstance in which argument is going to get you very far. It's rather witness, it's example, it's the Mother Teresa's, it's the crisis pregnancy centers, it's the work on campuses that invite young people beyond the hookup culture into some much more humane form of friendship and relationships. That's the example that opens up the possibility of then offering the message of the gospel.
And I think it means a willingness on the part of people to engage others as persons themselves, and to be willing to actually extend oneself in relationship with others and in the context of relationship or friendship, that becomes the foundation that you can actually speak to this ultimate longing in every person's heart, that God's the way that God has made us for this relationship with Him. But oftentimes we approach people more from the perspective of trying to get them to join something or to do something, and really what they need is a friend. They need someone to love them, to pay attention to them. And then they need the witness also of a community of believers who are living this transformed life with one another that they can then be invited into.
About the idea of invitation. You know, when we're talking about the new evangelization, we hear that often, the need to invite. And certainly with this Rediscover initiative locally, there's been an emphasis about extending an invitation. What are some ways of doing that for folks today, you know, people in the pews, to maybe look beyond, you know, their parish boundaries and invite other people in? What are some effective ways to maybe do that today?
Well, I think it needs to be suggested to people. I have yet to hear the sermon on Sunday in which the concluding admonition or injunction or invitation is to everyone here to consider inviting someone who hasn't been here for a while to come with you next week. I'm still waiting to hear that. It's as simple as that. There are a number of interesting initiatives around the United States on these things. The many dioceses during Advent and Lent have these programs called "The Light Is On for You," which is one evening a week during Advent and Lent where there are confessions heard for 5-6 hours, and the light is on. And that seems to be effective. It makes people think when you see that sign on the Washington Metro system. The light is on for you every Wednesday night for all of Lent at your nearest Catholic church. I mean, that's a form of invitation, too.
You know, in our campus work, this is what we train our student missionaries to do. So, for example, at the University of Minnesota last September, during the first 10 days of that semester, our missionary corps engaged 500 students, enough that these students gave their contact information and were willing to receive a follow-up call. And then from that, we call them and we invite them to our houses for dinner, or we invite them to play a game of touch football. And so I think inviting people back to church is one thing, but inviting them into our life, or even if you can invite them on a Sunday, connected to a Sunday, let's get together for Sunday brunch and Mass to invite them into a relationship with you and see you as the embodiment of what's going on, when they come back to Mass or confession.
The model of church envisioned by the new evangelization that you write about in your book, can you think of one particular success story or story that really exemplifies that transformation?
I can think of several. I mean, if we're talking about parishes, I would point people to St. Mary's Parish in Greenville, South Carolina, which in one sense is the inspiration for the book Evangelical Catholicism, because that parish embodies this approach to the faith in an extraordinary way that has led to a remarkable flourishing of adult conversions, receptions into full communion with the church, booming school, religious vocations, wonderful liturgy. Campus ministries, the gold standard in the United States, it seems to me, is Texas A&M University. The Catholic campus ministry there is a booming enterprise. 5,000 people at Mass on the weekends. More religious vocations generated over the past 20 years from Texas A&M than from Notre Dame. Now, this is because in both of these instances, the gospel is preached without compromise. Word and sacrament are at the center of the proclamation and the experience, and the stress is on friendship with Jesus Christ in order to be equipped for mission in the world. So, I mean, there are things that people can learn how to do to make this work. This is a question of living the vision of the church that's laid out in the dogmatic constitution on the Church of Vatican II. I mean, the blueprint is there. We don't have to invent this stuff. What we have to do is take it seriously. And understand that taking it seriously is a very demanding business.
Well, in SBO. I mean, every year, I mean, if you're looking for individual stories, the story's repeated over and over and over again. A young person reached out to, invited into our community of faith, brought to this rediscovery, this reawakening of baptismal faith, inserted into a community environment where they're formed. And formation isn't just intellectual, that's a part of it, but it's what you were referring to earlier, this overcoming this gap between the gap that exists between faith and daily life. But that's experienced in the context of learning to live in love. How do I study, and how do I, what do I do in my social time, and how do I relate to media, and how do I think about my sexuality, and how do I discern my vocation? And then coming full circle in our work to then being sent. That evangelization, really, if you look at Paul the VI's encyclical letter, which is still profound today, says that evangelization is only complete when the one being evangelized is him or herself sent out on missions.
Mr. Weigel and Mr. DeMurray give us a lot to reflect on as members of the church.
What a couple of great minds to sit with.
I would love to have just sat there and listened with you.
You bet. And, you know, it was a reminder to me, locally especially, what a treasure SPO is
right.
To our archdiocese. Mm-hmm. This work that we talk about when we talk about the new evangelization, is that's what they do every day.
Right.
And then to hear Mr. Weigel talk about it maybe from a broader national and international perspective, you know, it's just very insightful, and to see how they connect with each other and really how this all dovetails with the Rediscover Initiative as well. And, you know, I had a chance to read Mr. Weigel's book a little while back, and, you know, certainly if folks are looking for that kind of national, international perspective on the new evangelization, it's a great book to read.
Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You can find an article. First of all, you can hear Joe every week here on the Rediscover Hour.
That's right. And you can find an article from Joe about Joe Weigel's recent visit to Minnesota in the April 25th issue of the Catholic Spirit.
Evangelical Catholicism is a book on many Catholics' must-read lists. Archbishop Neinstadt told us he's got it on his summer reading list, and we're also hearing from Archbishop Neinstadt this morning in No Ordinary Conversation.
In today's segment, the Archbishop talks with Director of the Archdiocese Marriage, Family, and Life Office, Jean Stolpestad, about an incredible faith-building journey.
Happy Easter, Excellency.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you very much.
You know, I just love being Catholic. Who else gets to celebrate a feast day for 50 days?
That's right. That's right.
It's so beautiful that our mother, the Church, is generous, and she provides all that we need and gives a variety of tools to help us meet and understand God's love. One of those means is the opportunity to take a pilgrimage. And you and I, on May 21st, will be pilgrimaging to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And I was wondering, Excellency, why is it that pilgrimages are important? What is the purpose of a pilgrimage?
Well, knowing that we were going to talk about this topic today, I went back and did a little bit of research and found out that pilgrimages actually have their origin in Greco-Roman times. We can go all the way back there. They were oftentimes associated with places of healing, or even the graves of military heroes, that people would make this a visit and expect through the visit that some supernatural experience would happen. Judaism also had a long tradition of pilgrimages. For example, we read in the New Testament about the pool by the Sheep Gate or the pool of Siloam, who were well known in those days for their healing powers. In the Gospels, we're told that Jesus and his parents and family members went up every year to Jerusalem in a kind of pilgrimage, huh? And we find the same phenomenon in the traditions of Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism. In the earliest times, Christianity kind of avoided the whole notion of pilgrimage at first because it was so closely associated with pagan practices. But by the time Constantine recognized publicly the Christian faith, pilgrimages had already begun to develop in practice. And we know that Constantine's own mother, Helena, went to the Holy Land in search of the true cross, and that was certainly done in a pilgrimage style. Soon pilgrimages were organized for around the burial places of our Lord and other saints, to places known for healing power to places of special devotion or where relics were kept. And also pilgrimage became a means of doing penance and reparation for our sins. After the 5th century AD, Marian pilgrimages developed to places in the Holy Land associated with her life and her death. And since the Counter-Reformation, these Marian pilgrimages have really kind of dominated the scene. We have such places as Częstochowa, La Salette, Lourdes, and Fatima, which are renowned as places of pilgrimage for people to go expecting healings and other supernatural experiences. The idea behind a pilgrimage basically is that we leave home and all of our everyday concerns behind us in order to focus more on a life of prayer and reflection. We do so in the company of other pilgrims, where common prayer, singing, exchange of thoughts and feelings can take place. And this, of course, always a pilgrimage, if it's truly a Catholic pilgrimage, it culminates in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, in which we enter once again, hopefully more deeply, into the sacrificial nature of that celebration. Throughout pilgrimage, the spirit of penance is felt, along with a greater sense of God's providence in entrusting our lives to His care. And so I think it's particularly appropriate for us in this year of faith, proclaimed by now the Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, that in this year of faith that we would sponsor these kinds of pilgrimages to deepen our faith, hopefully, and to go away, at least for a short period of time, from the ordinary and the routine to experience and allow ourselves to experience more deeply the presence of Almighty God.
That is so beautiful, and that's exactly what I'm looking forward to, this time away to experience Him in prayer with not only yourself, but with so many of our members of our archdiocese. You know, I've never had the opportunity to go to the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. It's going to be a first experience for me. And you have been there before, is that true?
I have been there before, yes. One of the chief benefactors of that work, that beautiful place, and it is a lovely place. And the setting is so natural, out in the woods and on a hill. I think you're going to really enjoy it very much.
I think so, too. A Marian pilgrimage to a Marian shrine in the month of May, the month of our mother.
Yes, and dedicated to Our Lady Guadalupe, who Blessed John Paul II has made the patroness of our nation. So it all fits together very nicely.
Well, I hope as many people as possible can join us.
Is there still room for people to sign up?
There is still room. I encourage them to sign up very soon because the buses are filling up and they don't want to miss this opportunity.
And my understanding is that the buses are taking off from two different places?
From three different places. Okay. One in Rosemont, one at the cathedral, and then also from St. Raphael's in Crystal.
Okay. Well, that should be a good coming together of all the different strands of the Archdiocese for this marvelous experience.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Excellency.
You're very welcome.
Okay, so here are all the details on the pilgrimage Archbishop Neinstedt is leading to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. The one-day pilgrimage takes place on Tuesday, May 21st. Tuesday, May 21st, and motor coach buses leave at 7 a.m. from the Cathedral of St. Paul and St. Joseph in Rosemount and St. Raphael in Crystal. The buses return to those same parish sites at 7 p.m. the evening of May 21st.
A few highlights of the pilgrimage: spiritual leadership from Archbishop Neinstedt, Holy Mass, individual meditative time, Stations of the Cross, reflection at the Memorial of the Unborn, and a tour of the Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine Church.
And you'll be well fed. Gotta love that. Coffee and rolls on the bus ride to the shrine, catered lunch at the site, and a light box dinner on the bus ride home. The pilgrimage is sponsored by the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, and you can call that office at 651-291-4488. That's 651-291-4488. Or, of course, you can go to our page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar, and you'll find the link there for online registration on our Rediscover Hour show page. Now, here is a quick look at more upcoming events going on the Archdiocese, you can bring your family to the 65th Annual Archdiocesan May Day Rosary Procession on Sunday, May 5th. Here are the details. You can gather at 1:30 p.m. at the State Capitol grounds on Sunday, May 5th. The procession, led by Archbishop Nienstedt, begins at 2 p.m. After the procession arrives at the cathedral, there will be a May crowning, prayers for family and marriage, and the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. You can find out more on the Archdiocese website, that's archspm.org, and also ask if your parish is organizing buses to the Capitol or other transportation. And of course, school and parish youth group participation is encouraged. Again, the date and time for the 65th Annual Archdiocesan May Day Rosary Procession is Sunday, May 5th. Gather at the State Capitol at 1:30, and the procession to the cathedral begins at 2.
Make your plans now to attend the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women's 81st Annual Convention. That's coming up May 1st and 2nd at Guardian Angels in Oakdale. As we discussed with our ACCW guest last week, this two-day event features Mass, inspiring speaker and musician Father Jacques, plus wine and cheese social and a banquet with live music. Thursday continues with workshop sessions, Mass with Archbishop Nienstedt and local priests, and a catered luncheon. Both days have reserved time for visiting the ever-popular marketplace, Eucharistic Adoration, Confession, viewing the Guardian Angels Prayer Garden, and socializing with women from all corners of the Archdiocese. Call the ACCW office, 651-291-4545. That's 651-291-4545. Coming up on the next Rediscover Hour, we'll hear Bishop Lee Pache in our regular invitation situation segment. He'll share suggestions for inviting a friend or family member who have drifted away from the church, rediscover the faith.
In answering the call, how to read the Bible, a local couple who are bringing Bible study to life in their parish share insights that might surprise you.
Plus, what is essential in creating a warm and welcoming parish experience? We'll hear what some local Catholic leaders say is key.
So come back next week for all this and a whole lot more. The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.